Well, you know, it's been about 20 months that I've served as the CEO of the JTA, and one of the first things that I did when I first came on board was to look at to talk to our riders and the stakeholders in this community about the JTA bus system and what they thought about it. And it was very clear, you know, it was taking too long to get from point A to point B. Our trips were taking too long. We were having difficulty, our customers were having difficulty with connections and transferring from one bus to the other. And largely, this is due to a route structure that is dated. It's about 30 years old, the actual system design that we currently have. And so we immediately embarked on revisiting our current origins and destinations. Where do passengers, where do our customers really want to go? Over that 30-year period, the hospital locations have changed. Residential areas have changed. Where they go to work has changed over that time frame. And so we sought out to redesign the system from top to bottom to fit the current travel patterns of our citizens and our residents in Jacksonville.
And so now the people that get on the buses will see those changes. What will they be seeing on the ground and on the streets?
Well, what they will see is one, much more direct service, faster service, and more frequent service, and clearly getting them from point A to point B more directly. Better connections. If you do have to transfer from one bus to the other, we will have coordinated schedule activity so that you'll be able to make that change from one bus to the other. Less stops. We are reducing and relocating a lot of our bus stops in the system to speed the system up. And then I think what we really think is icing on the cake with this, when we implement this on December 1st, we will also be implementing real-time passenger information. So you'll be able to look at your phone, look at your laptop or your tablet, and text, and be able to see exactly when buses are arriving and departing. And I think that's going to be a major improvement for our customers.
Sure. And lots of calls already. What are your questions for the CEO of the Jacksonville Transportation Authority? All your transit questions answered. Give us a call. We'll go to the phones in just a moment at 549-2937. And so you'll be holding a series of public meetings about these changes. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In the meantime, other news coming out of the JTA, you've moved your headquarters to a temporary location downtown. Also, the City Council approving an extension of our local gas tax will allow you to work on even more wide-ranging mass transit projects and some Better Jacksonville Plan projects that have sort of been sitting idle. Can you tell us a little bit about other initiatives? When you look at the area as a whole, this huge far-flung area.
Yes. Well, we are fortunate. I think we're fortunate to have an organization like the JTA that has had some success over the years, but we're taking it, to coin a phrase, taking it to the next level. 2014 is
borrowing a phrase from Mayor Brown.
Well, you know, sometimes I think in this particular case, the
it
phrase
applies.
Fits. It clearly fits. And here it is, 2014. We were successful in getting the gas tax extended, which will allow us to revisit some of the Better Jacksonville Plan projects and get those completed. At the same time, expanding our bus rapid transit corridors. We're working on a downtown bus rapid transit project right now, which will lead into a Northline bus rapid transit system opening up in 2015. We are, as part of that, we are converting our fleet to compressed natural gas. 100 of our vehicles will be moved from diesel platform to compressed natural gas. And in conjunction with that, expanding our campus at 100 Myrtle Avenue to have all of our operations and maintenance in one location, which will force our administrative folks to find another location, and that will be occurring in December also. So we'll be moving our headquarters and at the same time building a larger, more efficient, and more effective JTA.
Wow, lots of changes. And can you share with us, too, your thinking about, we've heard for years about plans for a huge intermodal transit hub, presumably at the site of the Prime Osborne Convention Center, that would put the Greyhound bus terminal, the local bus system, and potentially light rail for the First Coast all in one place. What's the status of those types of visions for the future of transit?
So there had been a plan some years ago for Greyhound to be relocated over to the Prime Osborne Convention Center area. Those talks have been somewhat difficult, and most recently we've been able to reach an agreement that we believe will successfully relocate Greyhound to the Convention Center area. In conjunction with that, to create a truly multimodal regional transportation center, the JTA will be expanding its transfer facility there. The bus rapid transit system that I mentioned earlier will also connect to this station, and JTA's administrative headquarters will be our final resting location in terms of our administrative offices. So the move that's occurring in December is temporary, and over the next 4 years, there will be the development of a truly regional multimodal facility. As it relates to...
Over on Myrtle?
No, over by the Convention Center.
By the Convention Center.
Exactly, Skyway Convention Center area. So all of it will be concentrated there. As it relates to light rail, the bus rapid transit system that we're building right now, and which is fully funded, at least phases one and two, that's the North Line, the Southeast Line, and the downtown corridor, that will be the first steps to developing the travel patterns that would support a light rail system. We have a way to go in terms of implementing light rail. It's a major capital investment. You need the federal government to help support with that investment. However, right now, our travel patterns and our density is not right at that threshold at this time. But we're on that track. And we're
no
on
pun
that
intended,
track.
Right?
Yes, we are on that track.
So you do see that. You think that's coming?
I think it's coming. I think it's necessary if we truly are looking at growing the Jacksonville economy. This is in the right line of activity that needs to occur. But we need to take the incremental steps to build a community that is very public transit supportive, and at the appropriate time with the density, land use patterns, and travel commute patterns that are necessary to garner the federal support for rail.
And the lines are jammed right now as we welcome to Studio 5 Nat Ford, the CEO of JTA. Lots of transit questions from all of our callers, and you are calling in from across the listening area. Let's begin now with Nathan in Arlington. Hi, Nathan. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. I'd like to say that everything that the gentleman's had to say thus far this morning, it sounds very promising. I'm a big advocate of public transportation in Jacksonville. I think it's been lacking for a long time for various reasons, and we don't need to get into those. My question is, has anyone discussed the possibility of linking this new bus transit line with the Skyway, or possibly extending the Skyway to another area to create sort of a hub and spoke system? The Regency Mall area is in decline, and that would be a nice, it seems, hub and then spoke to branch out from. And I'll take your comment.
Thank you, Nathan. And this is a question we get a lot when we talk transit. What about that?
Definitely the Skyway. And interestingly enough, this route restructuring is going to enhance the Skyway. So that is one piece of this puzzle that unfortunately was not mentioned.
How will it enhance the Skyway?
Well, right now, in terms of the Skyway, it almost operates as a separate entity. And what we're redesigning the system, the bus system, to do is to utilize the Skyway for the final leg of some of the trips that our customers need to make. The Skyway currently, though, this past year hit 1 million riders. It was the first year in 2013 that it hit 1 million riders, and we expect to far surpass that this year. It's already trending to far surpassed 1 million riders. So it is an integral part of our operation. In terms of its future, we are also doing a study right now to look at keeping the existing Skyway up and running, okay, because it's 25 years old, and we are seeing some challenges in terms of keeping it up and running, the technology that was designed maybe 40 years ago. So
right, sometimes you'll see the car stopped on the tracks once in a while, things like that.
Well,
yeah.
Once in a while for various different reasons. But, this recent One Spark festival clearly showed that it is the backbone for a vibrant downtown. So we need to make sure that we could keep it up and running in its existing format. At the same time, the study will look at the expansion opportunities for the Skyway. Do we look at something that is at street level in terms of expansion? Is it the Skyway as we know it today, or is it something that eventually can convert to a streetcar operation? So those are the very challenging and difficult questions that we need to answer. We want to do our due diligence and take our time, because this is something that this community will have to live with our decisions for decades. And we want to make sure it's a smart decision.
But you do want to put new spokes into the Skyway system?
Definitely. Right now, we have a what it's called a TIGA grant. We have applied for a grant with the FTA, the Federal Transportation Administration, to build a Skyway station at the Brooklyn location. 220 Riverside is the development that's occurring in that area. It clearly is a smart move. It will make the Skyway a much more vital part of our operation.
And let's go back to your calls. Garrett at the Beaches. Hi, Garrett. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on the air, Garrett.
Riverside is the development that's occurring in that area.
All right, Garrett, go ahead. All right, Garrett, give us a call back. Let's go to Debbie in Clay County. Hi, Debbie. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you for all of the work that you're doing on this. We're pretty excited to hear some of the changes. My question involves the inter-county transportation, and in particular, we are very interested in using Amtrak when we travel outside of the state. But we're stuck 30 miles from either direction from an Amtrak station with no public transportation that's convenient to get there. Are you doing anything to connect with those locations better?
Thanks for that, Debbie.
I appreciate that question. A lot of the work that we're doing today is the basic blocking and tackling that the JTA needs to do to be a exceptional regional operation in the future. I don't want to get ahead of our community, but we do recognize that Northeast Florida needs to look at and needs to contemplate regional transportation options that are coordinated. And the JTA has a great deal of expertise in terms of operating public transportation. We're working very closely with the Regional Transportation Planning Organization, the Regional Transportation Commission that was recently developed about a year ago. And there are a lot of folks that are working right now to map out a future that will have public transportation covering multiple counties and being seamless, more importantly, seamless to riders, so that the future is bright, I believe. And right now, the JTA is focusing on making sure that the responsibilities we have today, we're doing exceptionally well with it. And that way we have a platform to build upon going into the future.
Lots of calls for JTA's CEO, Nat Ford. Let's go to Carl on the south side now. Hi, Carl. Thanks for holding. What are you doing down there this morning? How are you? Go ahead.
I'm well. I had a couple of suggestions, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on them. One of them was trying to make, because Jacksonville a really, really difficult city to plan for in a transportation because of the fact that it's so spread out. And it has become a commuter town as far as cars. So what I was thinking is trying to make it safer for those cars on the road using smarter traffic lights. They're called adaptive traffic signals. And what they do is they actually use real-time location data provided by people's cell phones and actually route traffic using artificial intelligence to have less red lights. So instead of having more red light cameras where you get tickets, it actually would allow for less red lights. That's a technology that's available. That's one of them, especially downtown. If you can start downtown, because right now, if you go, you almost hit a red light every time you go through each intersection. The other idea was a city-backed ride-sharing program, basically would arrange carpools for people in neighborhoods to be able to say, I'm going from the beach to Southside, and you know who's around me, and you know people can earn karma points, and they can, you know, do different things. So I was just curious to see what you had to say about that. Thank you.
All right, thanks for those questions, Carl. Lots of good questions coming in this morning.
And a very good question. Intelligent transportation systems are going to be critical going into the future. In terms of the JTA, right now, our bus rapid transit corridors and certain segments of our system on highly traveled corridors have signal priority built into the buses. We've also worked with the city in terms of making sure that technology is with the police department and the fire department. But those are the early steps. I believe our city and the JTA are working very well and closely together to look at intelligent transportation systems so we can move our citizens and move our residents smarter, quicker, and more efficiently. And as I said earlier, just the real-time passenger information application that we are unveiling on December 1st will go a long way in terms of smart travel. But ITS is the future, and we're working on that as we speak.
Let's go back now to Garrett at the beaches. Let's see if we can connect him. Hi, Garrett. Are you there? Good morning. All right, Garrett, we're going to have to give up on that call. Lots of calls, though. Let's get a few more of you on the air and lots of feedback on social media, too. We'll get to that in a moment. Mark in St. Augustine. Hi, Mark. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I was just kind of curious from a financial standpoint. I know that your guest had mentioned several grants that we're requesting for, you know, improvements in this area or in that area. From a standpoint of riders, users of the JTA services that you provide, how well would the agency be able to stand on its own just by support of the riders? And I guess my question can be boiled down to, is this a profitable venture, you know, all the expansion? I think on paper, the Skyway looks pretty good, as long as you send it out someplace where people are going to use it. But living in St. Augustine, I got to be honest with you, I'm not going to drive downtown to Jacksonville and hop on a Skyway to go a quarter of a mile.
A very good question, and I think for all of our listeners, the whole issue of public transportation and being self-sufficient is a question that comes up repeatedly. This actual route restructuring that we're doing it within our existing budget. So there's no additional cost. We do not need any additional funding to do that. This will be done within our existing costs, because what we're doing is reallocating resources from underutilized routes and reprogramming them to routes that we and corridors that need additional transportation and additional frequency. In general, and overall throughout this country, there is not a transit system that totally survives on the fares that come in from passengers. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very efficient, and you have to look at alternative means of bringing in revenue. And some of that's done through advertising that we do. Some of it is through sales taxes or property taxes that are provided to the transit system. But we're looking at growing our ridership in this particular case and taking what I would say is about 20%. Right now, our fare box covers about 20% of our costs. Growing our ridership so that it the fare box actually covers a greater percentage of our rider of our actual costs. But we are a service, and we are a public service, mm-hmm. and I think there's ancillary benefits to the community far beyond the people who use the system on a day-to-day basis.
Lots of tweets coming into the show. Here's one from Wesley. JTA needs a PR campaign to promote the image and benefits of the service so that everyone gets the benefit, what you were just saying.
Exactly.
Certainly, your appearance today is part of getting that message out. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple of questions for you, Nat, from Twitter. Jason writes, tell us more about the shuttle service from downtown to the airport. How does it work, cost, and depart? And then from Dave, for rapid transit, did you ever consider a hydrofoil on the river?
Well, I'll start with the last question first. In terms of the hydrofoil, and as a newcomer to the community, it clearly appeared that the river was another potential transportation channel. But it's my understanding that there's been numerous studies that looked at that opportunity, and maybe something we'll revisit in the far future. But right now, the studies that I've looked at have not seen it as a viable transportation mode at this point. We will, as part of the gas tax extension, get into the waterborne conveyance and business, because as part of that, we will be negotiating the transfer of the St. John's River Ferry to the JTA's responsibility and oversight over the next year. The previous question, as it relates to
shuttle service downtown to the airport.
With the route restructuring, we will be providing a direct link, a route that will go from downtown to the airport. We currently have a route that goes, that connects the airport and downtown. However, based on the number of stops that it makes and the way it meanders before it gets directly to the airport, it is not attractive. And so what we're doing as part of this route restructuring is making the system more attractive by speeding it up and more direct service from point A to B, B to C, mm-hmm. and not meandering as much as we do, which adds to our cost and makes the system slower and makes it unattractive. And so we're taking away those types of, we're removing those types of impediments.
Will it be one shot from downtown to the airport?
No, it's not a one shot. It will have to make some intermediate stops, but nowhere near the number of stops that it currently makes. And so we are removing a significant number of stops from the system so that we can speed it up. And then we're also relocating some stops. We have situations where bus stops are within 100 feet of each other. And so you can imagine how that delays our system and slows it down.
And here's an email from Bill. Streetcars are popular in urban core neighborhoods across the U.S. When will we again see streetcars connecting our urban core neighborhoods as they originally did downtown, Riverside, and Springfield?
I think that's getting back to that whole discussion about the Skyway. The Skyway in its current form and the way it's designed, being an aerial structure and being an automated people mover, does not lend itself to be at street level, similar to a streetcar operation. So as we do this evaluation over the next year about the Skyway's future, a streetcar alternative is definitely one of the options we will examine. We believe that a streetcar operation is much better in terms of economic development and at the ground level in terms of activity. And I think that's vibrant downtowns are going in that direction. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure that the current Skyway system, we rest all of the investment that was made over the past few decades in that system is totally rested out of it before we go to a different alternative. But it's definitely on the table.
Richard in Avondale has been holding. Hi, Richard. Thanks for holding. You're on the air this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple questions. One of them is, why will you wait until October to release the real-time app for seeing when for locating buses? This kind of technology is available everywhere. Every other community and large city in Florida has it already. And I use one of these apps when I travel, and they have a little thing that you push if you want another city to be included, you suggest it to them, and I guess they download the whole system. I don't see why it's not here yet. The other question was, I'm looking on your website right now and looking at the future plans map, and if I look at this thing, it appears that you right now have a very direct service that goes from downtown out to Atlantic Beach, although it doesn't go to, for some bizarre reason, it doesn't go to the beach. I'm looking at this future plans map, and it apparently indicates that you'll have a BRT going out to Regency Mall, and then another bus from there going out to Atlantic Beach from there. That seems to be, number one, it seems to compromise the attractiveness of the service to the beach by having this transfer. And the other thing also is you mentioned that the BRT line, the initial BRT lines will be going north and southeast. So I don't see how you're going to be connecting this, how these people at Regency going to Atlantic Beach are going to be able to connect.
All right, and that's Richard in Avondale. A couple of questions from him.
Okay. First question, in terms of real-time passenger information, it's new to Jacksonville. It's not new to a lot of the transit systems around the country. I came here from San Francisco, and as the executive director there, I had real-time information back in, I believe, 2006. So it's not new, but it is new to Jacksonville. Clearly you have to identify the funding to pay for a system like that. Two, if we're making the investment to implement it on December 1st, if we do it in October and we set up the system for the current system on December 1st, we would be going back to our contractor to change the real-time passenger information system to reflect the new system. So we have deliberately, we did a pilot on the AR6 at the beginning of this year. We wanted to make sure that we test the concept. Our customers got familiar. We got feedback from our customers about what benefits and not necessarily benefits, but how they wanted to have that system actually work for them. Mm-hmm. And then to time it with the change in service makes just prudent sense, and not to spend money and then come back and spend additional funding to change it, what, 3 months later, 2 or 3 months later. As it relates to the beaches, our service to the beach is much more direct. The BRT system will not be up and running until 2015. However, we are designing the system to mimic those routes for the next couple of years until we construct that system. So I'll have to go back and take a look at the caller's question related to Regency Square and then going to the beach, because the beaches are clearly a destination that we need as direct a service as possible.
Sure. And a moment ago, you talked about the ancillary benefits of the public service of mass transit to the public, even those that don't use the service. Madeline tweets the show, what are the ancillary benefits?
Well, it's interesting. You know, quite often in my role, I go to and I speak at a lot of different conventions and meetings here in Jacksonville, Rotary meetings and chamber meetings and things of that nature. And I get surprised sometimes that the, you know, folks that are maybe in the room, they don't ride the JTA, but they feel that it has no benefit to their lifestyle. But, you know, the folks that are serving us the meals or those lunches, we are heavily dependent in terms of the vacation tourism business. And a lot of the individuals who support that industry that we all benefit from, use the public transportation system. There's benefits as it relates to our environment and reducing carbon emissions, so we have a healthier environment. The economic vitality of this community largely depends on 40,000 people who use public transportation and do not have an alternative mode to get to their job. And in some cases, they're in our hospitals. I'm always reminded by Moody Chisholm, who talked about some of his employees that he identified that use over
hospital
the past...
Hospital CEO.
Yeah, the hospital CEO that use public transit to get to their jobs at a hospital. So while you may not directly benefit or ride a JTA bus ever, it is clear that there are individuals who use that system to support you and your lifestyle.
And with all of that said, you've got some public meetings coming up, so people
Yes, ma'am.
Can hear more about what the plans entail.
So as part of one of the most challenging components of this route restructuring is making sure we get the word out and we get input. We've made to the initial plans and data collection and design of the system, we've made quite a bit of a number of changes reflected from our customers and from our bus operators. And to continue with that process, we're holding public meetings on July 29th at the Regency Square Library at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. At the Highlands Library, July 30th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then we have a public hearing, which is required by statute at the FSCJ downtown campus, and that on August 7th, and that will be from 10 a.m. to noon and from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We definitely thank you, Melissa, for helping me get the word out. We need the public's input on designing a system for them.